Okay, Mother's Day, special notes in color. Okay, Dan. Yeah, special notes for Mother's Day. And you know, normally I have that spiral notebook that I open up that I have my personal study on the message. This is it for Mother's Day. No spiral notebook. I think it's a bounty towel. hey, it works. Going to do kind of a generalized message this morning on Mother's Day. And boy, we're supposed to have scripture reading. Oh well, we'll do it now ourselves. I had Jan was going to read the scriptures, but we'll read them now. Turn with me to Ephesians. We won't go, well, let's go to where the scripture reading was. Colossians chapter 3. No, chapter 2 was it. No, it was 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on love. I'm in Colossians 3, 14. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule as an umpire in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word concerning the Christ indwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing by grace in your hearts to a textual problem there, the Lord or the God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the character or name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, no, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey, be under the hearing of your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures. We live in a time where not even Christians are following the scriptures. But we thank you for these saints and their willingness to gather and to look at and discern the Word of God, and then by the ability provided by the Holy Spirit to implement those things that are appropriate to the Christian. We thank you for our mothers, but we really thank you for our spiritual, scriptural, godly women who raise up their children to love the Lord. thank you for them. In Christ's name, amen. We're told in Ephesians that children are to honor father and mother. This word honor means to give its proper value, to give its proper price. There's a commercial that goes around for one of the charge cards, and it'll say, here's this, it costs so much money, here's this, costs so much money, and here's this, priceless. You ever see that commercial? And it does that. Well, especially in the ancient times, but even now, the value or the price of something, which this word does come from, has the idea of measuring or weighing out something to find its value. So I don't know if you saw the ancients, but in fact, in some of the Eastern countries, I noticed on the Discovery or Geographic Channel, they're still doing that. There are certain countries and people that do not use money. They go back to the old standards, and they use gold. And the gold is in like rings, and they carry this gold or rings with them around, and they would be on a wooden pole. And what they would do is they would measure out the value of something, weigh out the value, and then they would weigh out the gold rings to pay for such things. So this is the concept that goes behind all of this. If you look back at the languages, the word honor has the idea of giving it its proper weight so that you can ascribe a proper value to something. Now that value can come across through mental. You can honor someone by giving them a proper weight mentally. And the way you would do that is by esteeming them. So you would give honor by giving a correct esteem to someone else. That esteem might also be an appreciation. So you measure them out and you look at the value that there is in the measuring, and you then mentally ascribe to them a certain esteem and appreciation because of the value that they have. But honor can also be vocal. And so you can honor by vocalizing the fact that you measure something out and you see what the value is there, and then you ascribe vocally to that reflection of the value, the price that's placed on that, and you vocally then communicate praise. Or you might communicate thanksgiving. Oh my, that we might say, thank you, Mom, for cooking me dinner. I remember my daughter Cheryl, and I'm not dishonoring her. I'm going to see her again. She passed away, many of you know. But she was with Joyce and Tim, and we didn't have hardly any money. So a trip to McDonald's was like, you know, oh, some manna from heaven must have been this bestowed on the Bidwells, because we didn't have anything. Cheryl's the kind of person who, when she was about Ellie's age, found a French fry. Five? She was five. Oh, sorry, Ellie. She found a French fry as we were going into McDonald's to get the free. Remember when they used to give the free little ice cream cones out? Am I too old? But McDonald's used to do that. All kids got a free little ice cream cone if you'd go in and ask. That was our trip to McDonald's. We would go in, and the kids would ask for their free ice cream cone, and Helen and I would sit there and drool. I think sometimes Mom would say, oh, let me see, that's melting a little bit. But Cheryl was walking in once, and she saw a French fry on the floor that probably was stepped on or walked on, everything else. And Cheryl ran over, and she was running into the counter ahead of us to get her ice cream cone, so excited. And she found a French fry. And she held that up, and she said, look, Mom, a French fry. And then as Helen's screaming and everybody's spilling their Coke on themselves from the scream, Cheryl proceeded to ingest the French fry. But we were at a restaurant once when we must have had some manna from heaven or something, and we had to take them out and get them a hamburger or something. And it was either Joyce or Tim or both of them together were very appreciative kids. And they turned to us and they said, "Thank you for taking us out." Oh my, God forbid that a child should thank their parents. Thank you. Thank you for cleaning my clothes. Thank you for making my dinner. Thank you. And then Cheryl turned and said, "You don't have to thank them. They're our parents. We're their children. They have to feed us." That's what she said. That's what Cheryl said. True stories. Kids, you gotta love them. Anyway, that honor can be vocal through praise or thanksgiving. That honor can also be physical. You can honor someone, you measure them out, you find the value that's there, and you honor them with actually doing something. It could be actions. Oh, you see mom's cooking dinner. Oh, maybe you can go up to her and say, "Hey, is there anything that I can do to help you?" She'd probably fall over and faint if you did, but something that could be done. Or husbands, do you need help cleaning up those dishes or something else? So honor can be physical by actually doing actions, or maybe even a gift. Doesn't have to be something expensive. Just something that you do to show your appreciation. So honor, you measure out, you see what's value there, and then you ascribe to that value. Can be mentally esteem and appreciate. It can be vocal, praise and thanks. It can be physical, actions or gifts. Hey moms, do you mind getting gifts? Barbara's giving me the stare. I don't know. I guess you don't like gifts. No. She's saying, "Leave me alone or I'll get you." Let's look at the first thing as we honor or esteem. It says to honor your father and mother. Since it's Mother's Day, we'll save fathers for another time. But it says honor your father and mother. That means the ideal. It doesn't always work out that way, but the ideal in this Christian home would be to have a father and a mother. And I know there's death, there's divorce, there's many different things that can produce a one-parent family. But here in Scripture, it's looking at the father and the mother. We're looking at mothers because it's Mother's Day. And it says to ascribe to your mothers, children, ascribe to your mothers honor. Give them honor. Measure them out. Esteem their value. And then mentally, vocally, physically, honor them. Honor your mother. Spirituality. We were in Ephesians. What came before Ephesians 6:2? What came before Ephesians 6:2 is 5:18. So turn your page over to 5:18, and what you'll read there is, "And stop being drunk with wine in which is no saving qualities, excess, but be continually being filled by the Spirit." So what everything that's in the sixth chapter of Ephesians is predicated on what came before. And what came before was the spiritual life, where you're continually being filled up with what is lacking by the Spirit. And we've talked on this and what traits are there. a singing heart, a thankful heart, a worshiping heart is described by the Spirit-filled person. So in measuring up the mothers that are described, giving them honor, valuing, measuring out, giving them value for what they are, what's the first thing that you can esteem and value in a Christian mother? If she's a spiritual woman. Here's a woman who has an inner and an outer beauty. By the way, there's nothing wrong with an outer beauty to a woman. Scripture talks about both. Scripture addresses the fact that there is an outer and an inner beauty, but it emphasizes the predominant manifestation of this inner beauty that comes out. But it does talk about in Peter the plaiting of the hair and a woman making herself attractive. There's nothing wrong with women wanting to be attractive. But there's an attractiveness that can't be compared to the physical, and that's the inner beauty that can be expressed out of Christ-likeness. Let's put it another way, godliness. And so here a woman can be filled by the Spirit, a mother, and she could be raising her children and showing forth supernatural qualities. I went online this last week and I looked up, and it's very interesting. Just type in your Google, Pastor Schaefer, Google it. Is that what you say? You say something similar. Google it. I Googled bad moms. Do it, man. There's a site, I think it's called Criminal Bad Moms. I hit the site, and it came up, and it has pictures. Has all the mugshots of these moms. And so I started scanning through them, and I was reading the little descriptions, and I said, oh, I remember that. Woman leaves her child somewhere in the car and goes off shopping, and the kid dies in the car. Oh, yeah, good one. That's a good one. That's a keeper? Oh, no. Where'd you find that gal? Probably in the dumpster. By the way, I'm going to say this, guys. This is to the guys. If you're looking for a girl, you're not going to find... You know, you might someday. You can go dumpster diving, and you might find a diamond in there someday. You might. It's, of course, possible. Somebody might have been throwing out the garbage and their diamond ring slipped off and fell in the dumpster. It's possible. But it's improbable. Don't go looking for a girl in the honky-tonk, the bar, a good old Saturday night, have a good time type of chick. You want a woman who's going to be raising your children, and you're not going to find them dumpster diving. Enough for the guys. Don't go dumpster diving for a mate. That's that part of it. Okay, well, let's leave the guys. Back to the girls. There's a bad mom list. So I started saying, oh, maybe I'll print this up and I'll have some of it. So I started looking at it. It would have used up all the paper in my printer of how many bad moms out there. And it's sad because I remember the news as I was reading. These were like 2016, and I remember it in 2015 with the pictures. And I said, I remember that. Leave it. The one that starved her baby. Do you remember that one? Had her picture in there. Bad mom starves her infant. So all mothers, you weigh them in the balance. Just because you gave birth to a child, there's not a whole lot to honor with some women. But here a Christian woman, who Ephesians 5:18, you come into chapter 6, verse 2, honor your mother, especially if she's a spiritual woman. I've said this before, I started to make it. You know, we look at Marvel comics and DC comics, and they're becoming very popular. They're billion-dollar industries right now, especially Marvel comics. But DC, now Marvel and DC are together. You got Superman and Batman fighting each other, I guess. But in those comic strips, they have certain superwomen. I looked up, there's actually a superwoman that was in Marvel Comics. And then, of course, there's on TV now a popular show called Supergirl. So you have Supergirl, you have superwomen, and then, of course, there's Wonder Woman. When I look at this and I think of that, and you think of these superheroes and all, the Christian spiritual mother is the Wonder Woman of Christianity because she's showing forth supernatural abilities. She is the superwoman. The Christian spiritual superwoman is the spirit-filled Christian mom. And so as the children look at their mom and they see her going through the routines of a mother, but they see her not 100% of the time. Nobody does it 100% of the time. But through her life, in the majority of her emphasis, she's spirit-filled. Honor that. Kids, honor that kind of mother. You have a mom who emphasizes the fruit of the Spirit, spirituality. Give her a proper weight. She is a Wonder Woman. She is a superwoman. She has the supernatural ability of the Spirit of God working through her. Number two, look back at Ephesians chapter 2, 6:2. Honor thy father, and what's the second thing? Mother. Do you see anything there that stands out on that page? There's a role in the home that's the father. Now, I do. I understand there's some one-parent homes. I understand that. And then sometimes one parent has to do more than the one role. I understand that. But I'm talking beyond that. There's the father role, and then there's what? The mother's role in the home. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now verse 9. In a similar manner, not identical. Do you see? You have men and you have women. In a similar manner, also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with godly fear and sobriety, not with braided hair of gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Now, he's not saying that they can't wear those things, but he's saying the emphasis primarily should be this inner man of the heart, this godliness coming out of the woman. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. I'm going to get to a point. I heard a message from our president, the leader of the so-called free world, yesterday, I think it was. What a joke. 1 Peter, I mean it. He's absolutely against everything I'm going to say in a minute. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. In like manner, ye husbands domestically dwell with them, the women, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I'm going to interpret. It's not a translation. I hope you're all understanding what I'm saying now. I'm not giving you a translation. Pastor Laverne Schaefer used to say, this weaker vessel is fine-tuned. That's the way he interpreted it. I'm going to interpret it as the feminine one. Hey, weaker vessel here is not talking about physical strength. I'm telling you right now, there's women probably in this building right now who can probably whip me physically. I'm getting weaker, weaker. But there's women out there who could beat me up. There's no question about it. So it's not physical. Just watch boxing night. You see those women in the ring. They'll take me out in a second. Hey, who was it was wrestling you? I know, he was, but did Molly once? She was doing judo, wasn't she? Yeah, she could probably flip you over, right over your head. Anyway, she don't look. Yeah, you watch the videos. The kid there, they're teaching her how to take you and flip you right over on your back. Okay, Molly. So it's not talking about physical weakness. It's not talking about intelligence. There are women a lot smarter than I am. It's talking about the fact that they're different. Women are different than men. I actually heard that on a news broadcast this week, and it almost sent me. I said, oh, am I hearing this on network? They said, women and men are not identical. Well, golly, I've been saying that for years. She said, oh, they're mentally and emotionally, and there's synapses in their brain, which I've known when I studied. But they've been lying to us all these years, telling us that you're absolutely equal. You're not equal. You're different. Your brains are constructed different. Physical differences. There's emotional differences. There's differences. Women's bodies are built for childbearing. Men are not. There's differences. I would interpret this as in Peter, the feminine one. Dwell together with them according to knowledge as the feminine one. She's your counterpart. When God created Eve for Adam, He didn't make an identical. He made a counterpart. And that's what it says in Scripture. The word helpmeet is a counterpart. To reflect and balance and make a whole. She's the feminine one. He's the masculine one. And God has different roles for each in the home. Now, I heard our president the other day talking to a group of graduates and telling them to embrace their sexuality. Did you hear that? I'm telling you this. If you have any problem with your gender, go take a shower. It should become quite evident. And God has different roles. Not saying one's better or inferior or what to the other. They're separate roles. So what am I saying back to Ephesians 2? It says, honor your father and your mother. There's a role that the mother has as being a spiritual mom. Sam doesn't like my message. That's okay. There's roles for a man, there's roles for a woman that are spiritual in the home. And the children here are to look at that and see how they function spiritually and see that we have a masculine one and a feminine one, and they both do their respective roles within the house, and honor that mother who understands her God-given responsibilities and does them by the empowerment of the Spirit. Enough said on that. And honor them mentally, vocally, and physically. Scripture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unhypocritical faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also." Turn over to chapter 3, verse 15. "And that from a child thou," that's Timothy, "thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise with reference to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." By the way, at the time Timothy was growing up, what scriptures would these women have had? Old Testament. New Testament is being written. But here they had an unhypocritical faith. And the important thing that I want to emphasize here is not what scriptures they had. That's for another time, another message. But the important thing is that here's a grandmother and a mother that had unhypocritical faith. That means they had faith to believe the promises of God. And in believing those promises of God, here they were carrying out a role. And what was the concern of this mother and this grandmother? Both was the children. And what was the primary concern in their children? Oh, I want him to be a doctor. I want him to achieve all kind of achievements in this world so that he can be esteemed as a leader in this guy. There's nothing wrong with wanting to drive your children onto academic superiority. But what was the primary emphasis here that was so important with this mother and this grandmother? I want to see first my child come to believe Christ as their Savior. Which means for us, it means that those mothers are going to be around those children. And moms are with their children much more than the men are. And the mother has a desire for that child that they get saved. And they're not unless that mother both lives it and then lips it. So she lives out what? Her role, her spirituality, which we covered in number 1 and 2. That's for mothers and grandmothers. Do you see that? And that here they know that the scriptures are what the kids need now most. And so Timothy, he wasn't saved, but they made sure he was exposed to the scriptures. Do you have a mom that does that? That's concerned about your initial salvation and then is concerned about your present tense salvation? You might sit back and say, "Mom, get off my back!" But sitting down with the kids, going through the scriptures. I didn't share this with you. When I was in Wyoming and I was teaching out there, several times, probably happens more than I know, I probably stepped on toes. That's my job if I have to exposit the scriptures. Twice I had women come up to me and they said, I was teaching Sunday school or I was teaching the children from the scriptures completely opposite to what you said. Because I was using Sunday school material or something else that had it all wrong. The good news is, both those women said, we have to really scrutinize the things that we teach our children. I have to evaluate that material and not just preach it out to those children just because it's written in some Sunday school or some devotional book. They said, I'm going to learn. I'm not going to teach that way anymore. I just said, praise God. That had to be of the Spirit. So mothers have a concern and know the value of the Scriptures. Look, we're in 1 Timothy 3. What does Paul write to Timothy at the end of chapter 3, right after this? He says, thou hast known the Scriptures. And then look what he writes in verse 16. All, they had the Old Testament. These women were using Old Testament Scriptures because that's what they had. But Paul now writes to Timothy and he says, all that has a quality of Scripture is God-breathed. To have a godly mother, a woman in the home who believes in the inspiration of Scripture, that this is the Word of God, that it's God-breathed, that's a woman that needs to be valued. Let's put it another way. That's a woman that needs to be honored. Less and less emphasis being given to Scripture today. But Paul says all Scripture, all that has a quality of Scripture is God-breathed. The word inspired is God-breathed. And is, what's the next word? Profitable. To have a mom who's raising her children and says, there's profit in the Scripture. Oh, yes, let's sit down and do your homework. Okay, what do you got for homework? Oh, we have to do the new math, which makes no sense to me. You have to go all around the block to get to the same point where you could have just crossed the street. You could do 1 plus 1 equals 2, or you could put 1 plus 6 minus 4 minus 1 or whatever, and you go all around the block till you finally get to the same answer of two. By the way, I've done the new math. I've done it with my granddaughter, Joyce. My granddaughter, Miley. Joyce said, help her with the homework. And I looked at this thing and I said, what are you kidding me? I said, yeah, I understand what they want. Let's do it, Miley. So we got... We want to get one boxcar plus one boxcar equals two boxcars, but we can't do it that way. We have to do it some other way. So we have to take one boxcar, add it to 10 boxcars, then minus 9 boxcars, and then add one more, and then we get two. You don't believe it? Do some homework with your kids. But it gets... on topic of that. I understand the logic behind it. I know why Gates did all of that, because he's trying to get people to think like a computer with the binaries and all of this stuff, and he's trying to get them to think in a different pattern to build that. I understand all of that. Hey, America had the smartest people in the whole world who were inventive and engineering. Yeah, I'm getting to be politics now. We're destroying it. Let's get back. So if it works, don't mess with it. Don't fix that which is working. You fix it and you make it worse. What is it? Don't fix what ain't broke. Isn't that it? Is something how it goes? Anyway, what was I doing here? Oh, mothers, let's get back to what we do. Mothers who sit down and say, let's do our English homework. Let's do our math homework. But a mother who sits down and says, let's do something that's going to be of real value, that'll last you for your whole life. Let's look at what the Word of God says. Let's study that. That's a woman That's a mother that you need to weigh and look at and say, I honor you. You're a woman of value. And then value her mentally, vocally, and physically. Maybe get in there and help her with the scriptures teaching the kids. Oh, wait. God forbid she'll faint. Here it happens. Let's move on real quick because my time's going. By the way, on the scriptures, I know this is Mother's Day, and I know of several mothers who have lost. You know, it's some of us are children who have lost mothers. I know of one in Wyoming, right? Two in Wyoming right now that I might call later, because they just their mother passed away. They didn't lose her forever. They lost her temporarily, and I'm sure this is hard on them today. But even harder than losing a parent is a mother losing her child. And I know that. And this last year, Helen and I have talked to people who have lost children and grandchildren who have passed away this last year. That kind of a mother needs the foundation of the scriptures. And you need to honor that woman who falls back on the scripture rather than falls apart. Let's move on, like I said. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:2. He says here, rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Now, verse 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Turn over to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. That aged men be sober-minded, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The aged women, likewise, as they be in behavior, as becometh. The word holiness has the idea of a temple conduct. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. My next point of honor is respect the elder women, the elder mothers. How do we honor mom? We honor her in her old age also. Here is a woman, she's raised her children are grown up. She's a proper, perhaps, grandmother, but she was a mother. And here, there's value to these elders. Respect for elders in the United States is declining. I can tell you from my perspective. I've never seen such disrespect since I got my gray hairs. I think his name is Eric Clapton. I have an album of his. He wrote an album of all songs from the Depression. And I kind of like them. It's one about squeezing that eagle to that till it grins. Because money was so hard on the coin. But he sings one song about a guy in the Depression that loses everything he has. He lost his family, his money, his farm. He lost everything. And the song is, I Must Be Invisible. Because once he loses all of his money and his values, He became invisible. He wasn't worth anything anymore in society. His friends were all gone. His family deserted him. And he says, I must be invisible. No one notices me. That's a line from his song, from the song, Depression song. I must be invisible. Nobody notices me. I have to qualify this a little bit because Helen and I were on public transportation and a man, how old was he? 30, 40? 30. He's in his 30s. There's a first time for everything. And this was my first. I never had this happen before. It shows I'm getting old. I got onto the bus, and I was on the bus, and all the seats were taken. Helen got the last one. A young man actually got up, around in his 30s, and he said, here, have my seat. And I went, whoa, first of all, do I look that feeble and old? I need your seat. I said, no, I'm quite capable. He said, no, sir, I want you to have my seat. And he got up, and he wouldn't sit down. He's an exception to what I've seen. So there was a first. That's the first time anybody ever gave me a seat. And it was kind of a little hard for me to take, actually. But I accepted and I sat down and I thanked him. He's an exception. What have I seen mostly? I see my wife walking down on a street in the city or whatever, and then these young people, and most of them, I'm not trying to, but most of them are in their 20s, and they're absolutely clueless. And my wife, I'm going to use Dan. Dan, could you stand up? This is what actually happens, and Dan's tough, so I could use it. They're walking along and they're talking, this is my wife, and they knock her right over. And I'm saying, a couple of times I call him out. I say, hey, you fool, do you see that's my wife? They turn around usually and they look at me, and he's another stupid old guy, and we'll walk on. I think that's what's being taught to our young people, the disrespect of elders. Disrespect of gray hair. And I'm thinking, what's she, invisible? I thought of that song. I must be invisible. Nobody notices me. Am I telling the truth? They just knock you all over the place. Now, I know she's short and she has gray hair and her hair probably looks like the clouds and maybe they think there's nobody there. I don't know. But they walk right through her. That is so disrespectful. I don't know. I'm still of the age. I still do this. If I'm at an elevator, I let the women in. I don't know. I only had maybe once or twice. Most women will accept it. But there are a few who say and they go, what do you think? You're superior to me? I don't need you to let me go. You know, I had a couple who said that to me. And I go, hey, it's okay. Stay out there. I'll go in. I don't care. I would hold the door for a woman and let the women out first. That's the way I was taught. It was called respect. Respect. Respect of the feminine one. Respect for the gray-haired one. And that has to be taught. And it starts in the home. Teaching the children. So Paul wrote here to honor the aged women. Don't count them as invisible. Be respectful. Then widows. Let's go real quick since we're over here. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5:4. Verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now what he's saying is that they don't have a husband and they're over 60 years old. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety or godliness at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Here he's saying that a widow that's over 60 and is destitute, the church is to help support her if she's done certain behavior and showing godliness. But it's saying that the children are to take care of their family first. And a way to show out your respect and honor to them is by helping to support them in their old age. You don't rely on the U.S. government. You don't rely on any other source, but you should first take care of your own. Look at James chapter 1. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You are to take care of the widows, the aged women, to support them. Now, the roles change. I actually have scripture for this. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:14. Go real quick because my time's up. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. You see, as you're raising your children, it's expected that the parents are going to supply the necessities for the children. But once you begin to have older aged individuals that are in your family, by the way, I didn't expose all of the scriptures that say this. There's a lot. It says he that doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. But there's lots of scriptures about supporting the aged members. So in the beginning, the parents supply to the children. But then when the parents become elderly, the children, the family is to take care of their own. So I put in there is that you're to honor the mothers who have raised children. You honor them by supporting them in their old age. Okay, so honor mom. You honor her mentally with esteem and appreciation. You honor her vocally with praise, thanks, and you honor her physically by actually gifts or activities and helping her. And who do you honor? You honor the spiritual woman. The scriptural mom, the mom who raises her children and shows forth her proper role before God. So I'm going to need two kids at least who want to volunteer. Who wants? Oh, you always volunteer. Come on, I knew you would. All right. No other ones? You're